Today's gospel reading comes from Mark. It says Mark anyway. Today's gospel reading comes from Mark, chapter 10, the last portion of the chapter, starting in verse 46 and going through verse 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this word, for your miraculous healing of a man whose name we know to be Bartimaeus. We thank you that even his name is recorded for us so that we might remember this story and remember your grace poured out on him. We ask that you would bless us as we reflect together on this story and help us all to be encouraged and challenged by it. We pray this in your strong name. Amen. Your perspective on things matters. How you view a situation makes a big difference. Have you ever had an argument with a friend or a family member? No, I'm not asking you to show your hand because, you know, you might, who knows, you might even be there right now. Have you ever had an argument with somebody that you've had a really close relationship with for a long time? And then all of a sudden things are sort of rocky for a while? In that moment, boy, it feels like it might be the end of the world, and maybe it is. It feels like it's really, really terrible stuff. Depending on what the argument is, and depending on how bad the situation is, maybe it really is very terrible. If the situation gets resolved, though, and your relationship heals, and you move beyond, move through that conflict, and resolve the difference, some years down the road, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, you can say, "Do you remember that time when we were not real happy with each other?" From that vantage point, the conflict seems very much less important. Maybe it even helped you grow stronger. Who knows? Your perspective on things matters. Have you ever lost a job? That can be a really terrible thing. A lot of people have lost jobs in the past few years, of course. This is a really terrible thing, and it does a lot of emotional stuff to you to say, "Oh, I don't have a job anymore. How are the bills going to get paid and whatnot?" But 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road, you will see that the Lord has provided for you, and things worked out, and here we are. From this vantage point, that loss of a job is a lot less severe than it was in the moment. Your perspective on things matters. Now, I've overheard a few rumblings today. There is some disquiet among us. There is some unhappiness. And my perspective on this particular situation is different than many of yours. You know where I'm going with this, don't you, Jerry? Okay. The Detroit Tigers have lost the first three games of the World Series. Okay. If you're not aware of that, this is the truth of the situation. Game four is tonight. It'll be after we finish our Sunday evening study, so you know you can go home and watch. Hopefully the Tigers will win. But you know, I'm an Indians fan. I'm a Cleveland Indians fan. My perspective on this is a lot different than maybe yours is. The Tigers and Indians are rivals. They're in the same division in the AL Central. I have a really hard time rooting for the home team, as it were. I'm trying my hardest, Jerry. I really am. But it's just, they're the Tigers. I can't really go there. I don't really want them to see them swept in the World Series. That wouldn't be very much fun. But your perspective on things matters. You follow me? This is kind of the way it works. We teach our children this when they're wondering about how to handle disappointments in their own lives or things like this, or maybe there's a fight that they had at school or something. We teach them, think about what the situation would look like if you were in the other person's shoes. Can you put yourself in the other person's shoes, right? Your perspective on things makes a difference. So today, as we look at this story of Bartimaeus, which for those of us who have grown up in the church or maybe know a lot of Bible stories, this one sounds awfully familiar. I'd like to think about this story with you from four different perspectives. One of them will provide a word of comfort for us, and three of them will provide a word of challenge for us. So we'll start with the comforting one, the perspective of Jesus. What's Jesus' perspective on this story? What does he bring to the table? He has just left the city of Jericho. Okay, whoopee. What does that mean? Where is it going? He's on his way to Jerusalem. The very next story in Mark's gospel, the very next words are Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's right after this. And in a handful of days, Jesus will be betrayed by one of his own. He will be arrested and tried and found guilty and crucified. Within a week, he will be dead. Jesus has just left Jericho, and he's on his way up to Jerusalem. Crowds are following him, as has apparently been the case all along. They're listening to him speak, they're listening to him teach, and all of a sudden, in this most stressful time of his life, he sees a blind man begging by the side of the road, and he stops on his journey to the cross to meet the needs of this blind beggar. He doesn't just put money into the man's cup. He doesn't just comfort him and pat him on the back and say things are going to work out all right 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road. No, he stops and he heals the man of the thing that had been holding him back. In today's society, we don't really understand this as much as it would have been understood in Jesus' day. Because today, in our world, people who are blind can get around all right. They can have full lives. They can hold jobs. They can do things that everyone can do. Seeing people can do too. They just can't see. We've kind of worked around that as a culture. In Jesus' day, if you were blind, you couldn't work. You didn't have ability to earn a living. Many people who were blind were reduced to begging for alms. What Jesus does by healing this man is he restores him to full functioning in society. He says, now you can be an active member of society again. It's more than just the gift of sight. It's the gift of life, the gift of well-being, the gift of being productive, the gift of contributing to society. Jesus stops while he's on his way to the cross to restore a man to fullness of life. That is a really strong and powerful word of comfort to us. To know that Jesus cares for those who are on the outskirts of society. You see, a blind beggar is one who the people really don't care very much for. Not much aid is given to those who are on the outskirts of society. We know something about what that means, even in today's world. Jesus cares for those in real, tangible ways. It's a word of comfort for us. Maybe even it's a word of challenge for us too. If we're to follow Christ, we should do the same. It's harder than it sounds. What does this story look like from Bartimaeus' perspective? The son of Timaeus. Bar means son of. Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. We don't know his actual name. We know his daddy's name. Okay, fair enough. He's a blind man. He's begging for a living. He's sitting beside this road going from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's a very busy road. Jericho and Jerusalem are about, they're a handful of miles apart from each other. It's a half day's journey. You can get there by foot. It goes uphill from Jericho up to Jerusalem. And he's sitting there because it's festival time and people are making the trip up to Jerusalem. And there's going to be a lot of people there. And it's a good place to be to earn some money, to receive some help from people who are passing by. He calls out to Jesus for mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. Over and over again. He's told by the crowd to cheer up when Jesus stops and says, call him over to me. Cheer up. If you have a different translation, it might say something like this. Take heart, or be of good courage. It's going to be all right. Hang in there. Cheer up. It's interesting to me that this phrase, cheer up, shows up 6 other times in the New Testament. All of those times from the mouth of Jesus. Every single time this phrase shows up, except for here, it shows up in Jesus' words. Have good faith. Be of good courage. And every one of those times it has to do with Jesus revealing his true identity to the people who are around him. Do you remember the story of the paralyzed man whose friends brought him to see Jesus? He was teaching in a house and it was so full of people, they couldn't bring him into the house, right? So the four friends took him up on the roof, dug out the thatched roof, and lowered him down on his mat into the middle of the room. You remember the story? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart. Be of good courage. Cheer up. Your faith has healed you. And then he says to the people who say, no, he didn't say that. He said, your sins are forgiven. That's what it was. Your sins are forgiven. Because then the people around said, who is this that he can forgive sins? And Jesus said, well, I'll show you one better than that. It's harder to say, take up your mat and walk, than it is to say, your sins are forgiven. But to show you that I can do both, get up, take your mat, and walk. And he did. It happened to be a Sabbath, and that was the kerfuffle that day, but whatever. Jesus did that, revealing who he is, by saying, be of good courage, take heart. A little bit later on, he was talking with his disciples and generally encouraging them. He was telling his disciples, you know, when I'm gone, you're going to carry on the mantle of this gospel work, this kingdom of God work, and the world's not going to like it very much. The world will hate you on account of me. But take heart. There it is. Be of good courage, because I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. This is the truth of what we believe as Christians, that Jesus has overcome the world, that there is hope for us in this world. We don't need to be tied down to sin, the things that so easily entangle us. Take heart. Cheer up. He's calling for you. Bartimaeus jumps up, throws off his cloak, runs over to where Jesus is, and presents his most pressing need. I want to see. I want to see, teacher, rabbi. And he receives the gift of sight. Now, we don't know if he had never seen before or if he had just recently lost his sight or whatever. It doesn't matter. He received this tremendous gift. And then Jesus tells him to go. Go your way. Not come and follow me, like he said to so many other people at different occasions. But go. Your faith has healed you. And then this Bartimaeus follows Jesus along the way. Is he just not paying attention? No, go away, go away. No. What's Bartimaeus doing? He's going along with Jesus, with the crowds, up to Jerusalem. Why is he going up to Jerusalem? Because he had just been healed of his eyesight. He was going to Jerusalem to show himself to the priests. I'm assuming here, the text doesn't say so, but it kind of makes sense. He was going up to Jerusalem to show himself to the priests, to say, look, I can see, I've been healed, and now I need to present an offering of thanksgiving to the Lord for what he has done in my body. This is a normal thing that people would have done when they are cured of diseases. They would go to the temple and give thanks. We do the same thing here today. When someone is healed of an illness or sees a recovery through a surgery that was kind of dramatic or whatever, we come to the house of the Lord and we give thanks. It's right for us to do that. It's fitting for us to do that. That's what Bartimaeus is doing. Our challenge from Bartimaeus' perspective is simply to lay our needs before the Lord and to respond to his provision out of thankfulness. Bartimaeus could have gone home. Well, I can see. Now I'll fill out my job applications and get to work. Life is good now. No, he went to thank the Lord. He went to present himself and to say, Lord, you are so good for meeting my most basic needs. That's the right orientation for things. And that is how we should respond to the Lord's goodness in our lives as well. What about the perspective of the crowds? Our third perspective. Not Jesus, not Bartimaeus, but the crowds who are surrounding. They're traveling along the road with Jesus. And then they start to... Well, that's unfortunate. Wanted it taller, but not that tall. There we go. And then they see and hear the beggar on the side of the road. Here he goes again. He's always asking for help. He's always asking for money. He's always there on that corner, especially this time of year when he knows the rich people are going to be heading up to the temple to do their sacrifices. He's really kind of a bother, and I wish he would just go away. Is there anything like that in our society today? Who wants to be bothered by this beggar? I find it fascinating that the very first words that Jesus speaks in this story are not to Bartimaeus, not to his disciples, not to anybody but the crowds. The first thing that Jesus says is directed to the crowds, and he says, call him. Not, who is this Bartimaeus that I can go over to him? Where is he? Can you move part the water, so to speak, so I can get over to where he is? But no, call him and bring him to me. That's the implication. Call him, bring him to where I am. In other words, you're on the hook for this, crowds. You're the ones who are responsible to bring him in. And they do. They bring Bartimaeus to Jesus. They brought an otherwise undesirable person to meet Jesus. You see, people who are sitting on the side of the road begging, who are blind, who are unclean, according to Jewish law, were not to be dealt with, were not to be touched, were not to... You could toss them some coins, but really you should just kind of not socialize with them, not associate with them. But they brought this otherwise undesirable person to meet Jesus. That's a really profound thing. Is there any room for that in our world today? To bring people that the world would consider otherwise undesirable to meet Jesus? This is what we're supposed to be all about, anyway. But it's probably just as uncomfortable for us to do that as it would have been for the crowds to do that day. You want us to bring blind Bartimaeus to you? Well, okay. This is the challenge for us as well. To be sensitive to Jesus' voice. The voice, the prompting of the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells in us. To pay attention to those who are in need in our community. And to bring them to meet Jesus. It takes a great deal of sensitivity to Jesus' voice to be able to do that. And it takes a willingness to change how we interact with people in the world. Rather than passing by the beggar who sits on the side of the road, to introduce him or her, whatever the situation might be, to introduce people to Jesus. It takes a change in how we relate to people in the world. This is what the crowds did. This is what we are called to do. A fourth perspective. Who's left? Jesus, Bartimaeus, the crowds. That's about it. There are no Pharisees here this time. They don't have to worry about them, thankfully. Who's left? His disciples. Jesus' disciples are there. They're not active participants in this story, but they're there. As Jesus and his disciples were going up to Jerusalem, the crowds were with them. The disciples, the 12 disciples, are there. They don't participate in this story. They're not named in this story as doing anything or saying anything, but they are present, and they are watching, and they are observing. Now, they have been present and watched and observed Jesus all along. They've seen him heal the sick. They've seen him raise the dead. They've seen him cast demons out of people and multiply loaves and fishes to feed multitudes. They've seen him do many different kinds of miraculous things. So it's probably no surprise that he's able to do it this time. But just one passage earlier, what we looked at last week here, the verses that immediately precede this story, these same disciples are arguing about who's greatest in the kingdom. James and John, remember, had come to Jesus saying, "We want you to do for us whatever you want us to, whatever we ask. We want to be placed at your right and left hands. We want to sit at your right and left side in your glory. Would you do that for us?" And the other 10 disciples overheard that and got angry about it. They're arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom. While Jesus is doing what he is doing, going to the cross, ministering to those who are on the outskirts of society. But there's a question that Jesus asks of Bartimaeus that I think probably would have haunted the disciples for some time. When Bartimaeus comes up to Jesus, Jesus asks him, "What would you like me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, I want to see." From the disciples' perspective, the 12 disciples' perspective, that question might have haunted them because it was exactly that question that Jesus asked of James and John when they came to Jesus just one passage earlier. "Master, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. What do you want me to do for you?" "We want to sit at your right and left hands in your glory." "Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Call him. What do you want me to do for you?" "I just want to see. I just want to see. I don't want power or control or authority. I don't want influence over people. I don't want to sit in your kingdom. I'm not even thinking about that. I just want to see." The disciples had asked Jesus for favors. Bartimaeus asked Jesus for mercy. Our challenge as followers of Christ is to ask the Lord for mercy, not for favors. This story highlights for us a reality about human nature. It's that people are naturally unable to see the truth. People are naturally unable to see the truth. Bartimaeus obviously could not see Jesus in a literal sense. The crowds going with Jesus up to Jerusalem could not see Bartimaeus and his needs. They could visually see him, but they couldn't understand what was really going on until they witnessed Jesus do this healing miracle. The disciples, those 12 who had heard that haunting question, "What do you want me to do for you?" again, the disciples couldn't see true humility and service until they saw it enacted on the cross. Jesus pointed out for the world what all of these things are. He pointed out for the world what truth really is when he went to Jerusalem and when he gave himself on the cross. He showed that even the least of these in our world is of value. While on the cross, he said to the thief who was on his right-hand side, "Today you will be with me in paradise." While he's dying, he said that. All along in his journeys, he pointed out to people how people on the outskirts are important. This is the truth of the gospel. Even in this story, Bartimaeus, who should have been ignored, was put in the center of attention. And for his disciples, he showed that the truth of power and influence is revealed in brokenness, in service, in sacrifice. "What do you want me to do for you? How about I go to Jerusalem? How about I do that for you?" Jesus is interested in showing mercy. He is interested in opening people's eyes, in calling people to faithfulness and obedience. Jesus wants to open our eyes so that we might walk with him. This is a daily task for us who are in the faith. Our eyes continually need to be opened to what Christ is calling us to do, how how he is calling us to live, how he is calling us to serve. We are called to lay our needs before the Lord, as Bartimaeus did, and to respond thankfully, as he did. We are called to view others, especially those in the margins, as worthy of dignity and respect, as Bartimaeus was treated. We are called to ask for God's mercy, not for personal favors. And we are called to learn Jesus' perspective on the world, that even in our most difficult times, we can be used by him to reach out and bless the lives of others in our community in his name, because in his most difficult of times, he did the very same thing. Because after all, our perspective on things matters. So how we live matters. So may we be true disciples of Christ in every opportunity. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this story of Bartimaeus and his receiving of sight. We pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to how you would have us to live, to the truth of your gospel, to the truth of salvation in your name. We pray, Lord, that you would be magnified in how we live, that you would be exalted above all others, in how we choose to behave and how we interact with other people and how we serve the least of these in our community. Help us, Lord, to be true disciples and to reach out to others in your name. Bless us as we go forward from this day, we pray, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.